This is Radio Olin, KROJ 101.5 FM on your radio dial. Coming to you live from our studios at Pueblo y Salud in the city of San Fernando, this is Veronica Pimentel.
And this is Beto Ruiz.
Welcome back. It's a beautiful Saturday morning. This morning, we will be discussing on Cesar Chavez, who has played an important part in the fight for agricultural farm worker rights. In order to honor his life's work, we wanted to share some information about him and the legacy he has left behind. Chavez, a farm worker himself, dedicated his life to improving treatment, pay, and working conditions for farm workers in America. Cesar Chavez was a man who dedicated his life to helping others. Chavez experienced the humiliations of being a migrant worker, physical punishment from an Anglo teacher when he unthinkingly began speaking Spanish in class, police harassment, segregated seating at the local movie theater, denial of service at restaurants. You can say he learned about justice, or rather injustice, early in his life. Despite this, Chavez became a national hero, a symbol of courage and fortitude, for leading a nonviolent revolution to organize farm workers. As I mentioned this morning, I have a special guest, Beto Ruiz, a longtime San Fernando resident and community member. Welcome, Beto.
Thank you.
We're excited to have you.
Great to be here.
Can you tell us a little bit about yourself and some of the work that you do here in San Fernando?
Well, I've lived here all my life. Proud to tell you I'm 74 years old, and I grew up in this community. I want to say from the get-go that although I grew up here, went to the public schools here in San Fernando, I mean San Fernando Elementary, San Fernando Junior High School, San Fernando High School, my experience in my particular family was also spending the summers away from San Fernando. My family used to go up north to the Santa Clara Valley, mm-hmm. more precisely to the city of San Jose, to do farm work. And okay. that was my experience until I was about, let's say, 18 years old, and I started staying here for the summers. So that was my upbringing, too. I consider that my hometown as well. That is San Jose and San Fernando. So I completed my schools and went on to college, hoping to do something in the field of social work or sociology. And I went on to CSUN, which back then in the late 60s was known as San Fernando Valley State College. I got involved there with some other Chicano students in 1967. And we started an organization called the United Mexican American Students, UMAS. And we started to organize the students on campus and involve ourselves in issues off the campus as well, issues like the farm worker cause. And eventually, in the late 60s, after our efforts there, the students, that is, we were able to get an EOP program established. And as important, the Chicano Studies Department was started as well in 1969. And I, after graduating, joined the faculty of the department, and I've been a member of the faculty. I have retired, but I continue to teach part-time, so I have been at CSUN well over 50 years, a long time.
Wow, that's awesome. Tell us some of that, of your experience teaching there.
Well, you know, I've taught courses there of various kinds, but my specialty has been more in the area of the arts. In particular, I teach a course called the Chicano and the Arts, and I survey visual and graphic art of the Chicano, as well as theater, drama, and then music, a survey course that explores those art forms. I've also taught, various courses. The other course I love to teach is guitar, and I have taught students guitar as well as other string instruments. I organized a music group there on campus, initially called Conjunto Aslan, later to become Mariachi Aslan, and that led on to the organizing of mariachis in the community through the help of a good friend of mine, one of my members, Rudy Vasquez. So, yes, I've seen a lot of students and changes there on that campus, and in turn, many of them going into various professional roles in the community of all sorts and all kinds. So it's been a very rewarding professional experience, yeah.
That's great. It sounds like you're also educating your kids not only in the classroom, but through music as well. And speaking through about music, we have a special playlist that was put together specifically from Ruben Rodriguez, our executive director at Pueblo y Salud. And so you want to introduce some of the music that we were going to be playing.
Well, I believe one of the first numbers is a number called De Colores. And it happens to be a song that we all got interested in and learned, you might say, because of the farm workers. And that is, it's, I would call it like the anthem of the farm worker movement, at least of the late 1960s. And as we learned the verses to the song, some of us even added our own verses to make it relevant to our life situation here in the San Fernando Valley. So De Colores is, like I said, very much associated with the farm worker movement, in turn, even with the Chicano movement.
Great. So we're going to be playing De Colores. Please stay tuned. I'm going to be asking Beto Ruiz some additional questions, and you can also get informed on how to get more involved for the Cesar Chavez Commemorative Committee. Please stay tuned.
En la huelga no nos moverán, unidos huelga no nos moverán como un árbol firme junto al río. No nos moverán como un árbol firme junto al río. No nos moverán. No, no, no nos moverán. No, no, no nos moverán como un árbol firme junto al río. No nos moverán. Unidos venceremos. Unidos venceremos, no nos moverán como un árbol firme junto al río. No nos moverán, no, no, no nos moverán, no, no, no nos moverán como un árbol firme junto al río. No nos moverán.
Desde Texas a California, campesinos están luchando. Desde Texas a California, campesinos están luchando. Los rancheros a llore y llore, de huelga ya están bien pandos. El picket sign, lo llevo por todo el día. El picket sign, conmigo toda la vida.
Ya tenemos más del año peleando con esta huelga.
Ya tenemos más del año
peleando con esta huelga, un ranchero ya murió, y el otro y así su abuela, el picket sign, lo llevo por todo el día, el picket sign, conmigo toda la vida. Un primo que tengo yo, andaba regando diches, un primo que tengo yo, andaba regando diches, un día con pagarulo y otro con sanavaviches, el picket sign, lo llevo por todo el día, el picket sign, conmigo toda la vida. Me dicen que soy muy necio, gritón y alborota pueblos, me dicen que soy muy necio, gritón y alborota pueblos, pero Juárez fue mi tío y Zapata fue mi suegro, el picket sign, lo llevo por todo el día, el picket sign, conmigo toda la vida.
Y ahora ando organizando la raza en todos los files,
y ahora ando organizando la raza en todos los files, y muchos siguen comiendo tortillas con puros chiles, el picket sign, lo llevo por todo el día, el picket sign, conmigo toda la vida.
Hay muchos que no comprenden, aunque uno les da consejos,
hay muchos que no comprenden, aunque uno les da consejos, la huelga es un bien para todos, pero unos se hacen pendejos, el picket sign, lo llevo por todo el día, el picket sign, conmigo toda la vida, el picket sign.
You're listening to Pueblo y Salud's Platicando y Mejorando, an inspiring program that will promote the health and well-being of our community through intellectual, physical, economical, political, and spiritual discussions. Stimulating discussions and listening pleasures will be enjoyed with experts and leaders in health, culture, music, art, and politics. This is Radio Lin KROJ 101.5 FM on your radio dial. Coming to you live from our studios at Pueblo y Salud in the city of San Fernando, this is Veronica Pimentel.
And this is Beto Ruiz.
So you're listening to Pueblo y Salud's Platicando y Mejorando, an inspiring program that will promote the health and well-being of our community through intellectual, physical, economical, political, and spiritual discussions. Stimulating discussions and listening pleasures will be enjoyed with experts and leaders in health, culture, music, art, and politics. So if you're just tuning in, we have been speaking of Cesar Chavez, who played an important part in the fight for agricultural farm worker rights. In order to honor his life's work, we wanted to share some information about him and the legacy he has left behind. I also have my special guest, Beto Ruiz, a longtime San Fernando resident and community member. Beto, can you tell us about how Cesar Chavez impacted the country and specifically the San Fernando Valley?
Well, of course, it was a movement that was not that well known beyond the Central Valley or San Joaquin Valley. But little by little, it was an issue that started to gain attention. And eventually, it reached, of course, us here in the San Fernando Valley. As we saw the example of that movement and the attempt to organize these people, I think for some of us, even though we were familiar with the farm worker experience, as in my case, we weren't, at least in my part, I wasn't convinced right away of how legitimate, you might say, the movement was, or even the legitimacy of Cesar Chavez. You have to understand as well that in those years, he was very much in the media, discredited on television, on radio. We had no books or written information about Cesar and the movement. So some of us at first had some very, what I would call lame, ignorant views about this movement. But the more I learned about it, the more I started to get some information on the farm worker, I became more convinced about how just and how important this cause was. So that was the impact that it began to have on us. Mm-hmm. So as students at San Fernando Valley State College with our organization, I have to tell you, we recognized that in order to really find out what the farm worker cause was all about, this is about 1967, 68. We really said, you know, we can't depend on television and radio, and why don't we go there? Mm-hmm. You know, it was not across the world. We're talking about going 120 miles north on Highway 99 or Highway 5, as you know it today, and see and meet the people firsthand. And that's what we literally did. We went up there,
wow,
and we initiated these first contacts with Cesar Chavez. For me, it was very important as well to establish a relationship and get to know Luis Valdez, his brother Danny Valdez, because they were, through their theater and music, you know, promoting the huelga,
mm-hmm,
and the strike. And we would return, and of course, we would begin our own attempts at doing theater and music here, as well as assisting farm workers when they came into the San Fernando Valley to stand in front of markets and picket lines. It would give us an opportunity to support them and to speak on their behalf to the consumers. So obviously, and this story that I'm describing was going on in many cities and towns throughout the country where people there, like myself, were getting involved with this issue that initially started in the San Joaquin Valley. We all know, of course, that, you know, you find, you know, farm workers throughout the country. And, you know, we were looking at a particular industry called agriculture. There was even a name for it. It was called agribusiness. The biggest money-making business in that part of the 60s in the state of California. You understand that there's a lot of other corporations, auto companies, you know, oil companies of all sorts. And this is the industry that was making the most profits. And yet their workers were the poorest paid. So you have the two extremes there. And it was really an obvious need to lend support to them.
Now we have our Cesar Chavez Commemorative Committee and the Cesar Chavez March for Justice coming up March 2020. We definitely want to take this time to inform the community members on the importance of getting involved and just giving a background as to who Cesar Chavez was in the first place. Can you tell us a little bit more about what the Cesar Chavez Commemorative Committee of San Fernando Valley is?
Well, it's a group of supporters of the farm workers. Initially, we started with literally supporting and taking part in the actions and strategies of the farm workers. I'm talking about the picketing in front of markets, the promotion of the boycott of certain fruits like grapes and lettuce, and so that grouping was formed into essentially a committee of support for the farm workers, and we continued to do that throughout the life of Cesar Chavez. And upon his passing, even more, the committee wanted to do something to hold on to the legacy of Cesar Chavez and to continue to educate future generations. And so we started to promote the idea of erecting something here in the city that would physically give us a remembrance of Cesar Chavez, and that led to the memorial that we have here. Before that, there was the dedication of March 31st being a holiday in the city. This was before any city or state or entity in the country had declared that as a holiday. So all of this was indicative of our support. I have to also say that in those years, we were starting to build our presence in the city council and having members there that in turn were also supportive of the farm worker movement. A key person in that was Dr. Jose Hernandez. So there was a momentum, you might say, of building this support. So it was, there were days, you know, when those of us who supported Cesar Chavez were looked upon with a lot of curiosity, even criticism. I'm talking about our fellow neighbors and even relatives sometimes who questioned the motives of the farm workers and in turn our motives. But little by little, we started to build, I think, a support here and just a commitment to this cause. And as I remember, it's been a few years now since we initiated this, you might say, remembrance. But the year after they commemorated the first anniversary of the passing of Cesar Chavez, I guess it must have been about 94, thereabouts, we organized a sort of march. And as I recall, it was actually three marches that started from two or three different parts of the city, and we all aimed at congregating together and meeting at Las Palmas Park. You know, a lot of this, what we call march, really should be preceded with the idea of what we call a pilgrimage, because the farm workers themselves would oftentimes take on these walks or marches or really pilgrimage to rededicate themselves to the principles of the farm workers. And in that spirit, we thought that we in turn as well would do our own small pilgrimage to reenact that and to show support for the farm workers. So that's how it started. In the years to come, we would start to repeat the same route, which of lately has been from the San Fernando Mission to Richie Valens Park in Pacoima. Although in the early years, we were coming from the Mission into San Fernando Recreation Park. But we made a change on that route. And still, we've tried to keep the focus on this being a pilgrimage and showing support for the struggle and the distance and the journey, might put, that the farm workers have led.
That's awesome. Do you remember how many people attended the march when you first started?
I don't know the count, but I'm sure it was, I don't think it was more than 100, probably between 50 and 100. Mm-hmm. Many, many of them young people, like myself. I there was a time when I was young, believe it or not. And we thought this was super important to get young people to recognize those individuals who gave up themselves and in this case gave up their life to bring on a brighter future, not just for farm workers, but for ourselves as well. Mm-hmm. We're all tied, to farm workers. We don't have to be in the fields to be tied to the agriculture industry. We're consumers. We eat. We eat fruit, vegetables, and we're tied to that little economic system and connection. So as much as we might think that it's a cause and a strike that affected people very far away, we are a part of that. We need to understand that as well.
Mm-hmm. That's good. Now, the 27th annual march is coming up in March. We want to invite the community members to get a little bit more involved. You have your Cesar Chavez Commemorative Committee meetings every 2 weeks. The next meeting is December 18th at 6 p.m. The meeting is held here in our office. The address is 1024 North McClay Avenue in the Suite M13 in the city of San Fernando. Do you have any more recommendation on how people can get more involved?
Well, the committee has also organized a fundraising event on a Thursday, and we'll give you the date.
Is that Warriors for Justice?
Yes.
Yes. Oh, yeah, the Warriors for Justice dinner is Thursday, January 30th, 2020, at 6:30 here in San Fernando.
So the Warriors for Justice dinner taking place on Thursday, January 30th, here in San Fernando, it begins at 6:30, is an event that we have preceding the march to help us, raise funds for the expenses of that particular march, blocking streets, police protection, et cetera, et cetera. We have a number of expenses, and that would really help us to carry this out. So at this moment, really, I would like to introduce the music that is to follow. It's a song called Soy del Pueblo, I'm of the people, by a group called Flor del Pueblo. I want to tell you, this group started in San Jose, California. It's a group that very much like ourselves and the groups that I directed music here in the San Fernando Valley, they started to learn music of the farm worker movement, later the Chicano movement, and this is one of the recordings. Again, this is Flor del Pueblo singing Yo Soy del Pueblo.
Construir el futuro con alegre sacrificio. soy del pueblo, pueblo soy, y a donde me lleve el pueblo voy.
Por el pueblo voy pasando y oyendo su sentimiento, lo recojo y al momento se lo devuelvo cantando.
Soy del pueblo, pueblo soy, y a donde me lleve el pueblo voy.
Lo poco que doy le ofrezco con alegría y encanto, al pueblo le doy mi canto, porque al pueblo pertenezco.
Soy del pueblo, pueblo soy, y a donde me lleve el pueblo voy.
Con alegría serena canto lo que el pueblo siente, y canto porque el presente no es de llanto ni es de pena.
Soy del pueblo, pueblo soy, y a donde me lleve el pueblo voy. Soy del pueblo, pueblo soy, y a donde me lleve el pueblo voy.
Del pueblo mexicoamericano existen mujeres lindas y valientes, existen mujeres que saben luchar.
Existen mujeres lindas y valientes, existen mujeres que saben luchar.
En ciudades y campos se forman, dando fuerza y valor al hermano, revolucionarias pidiendo justicia, revolucionarias dando inspiración.
Revolucionarias pidiendo justicia, revolucionarias dando inspiración.
Respetan su color y valor, son de bronce, princesas aztecas radiantes de vida, princesas aztecas de porte y de paz.
Princesas aztecas radiantes de vida, princesas aztecas de porte y de paz.
Son las madres de la raza nueva, son las novias del gran movimiento, son las Adelitas, chicanas bonitas, son las Adelitas de revolución.
Son las Adelitas, chicanas bonitas,
son las Adelitas de revolución.
Sunday afternoon and celebrate the spirit of life itself. But the city of San Diego said, chale, we're gonna make a highway patrol substation here, man. So on April the 22nd, 1970, La Raza of Logan Heights and other Chicano communities of San Diego got together and they organized and they walked on the land and they took it over with their picks and their shovels and they began to build their park. And today, that little piece of land under the Coronado Bridge is known to everybody as Chicano Park. It began in 1970 under the Coronado Bridge in mi barrio in San Diego, where my people began to fight for Chicano Park, for Chicano Park.
Que vivan, raza, barrios unidos.
Raza,
que vivan, que vivan.
Raza,
los barrios unidos.
Raza,
que vivan, que vivan.
Raza,
los barrios unidos.
Raza,
que vivan, que vivan.
Raza,
los barrios unidos.
Raza,
que vivan, que vivan.
Surcando el cielo de América, sangre de viento avanzando, forma de fuego en la noche, en ruina de allí. Canto del llanto del indio, voces del tambor tocando, flautas que hablan con Dios, me dicen así.
Radio Olin, KROJ 101.5 FM on your radio dial. Coming to you live from our studios at Pueblo y Salud in the city of San Fernando, this is Veronica Pimentel.
And Beto Ruiz.
Yes, welcome back. You're listening to Pueblo y Salud's Platicando y Mejorando, an inspiring program that will promote the health and well-being of our community through intellectual, physical, economical, political, and spiritual discussions. Stimulating discussions and listening pleasures will be enjoyed with experts and leaders in health, culture, music, art, and politics. If you are just listening in, we have been talking about Cesar Chavez and our 27th annual March for Justice. Today we have a special guest, Beto Ruiz, a longtime San Fernando resident and community member. He is also a professor at CSUN. Beto, I've been asking you some questions about the impact Cesar Chavez has made here, and specifically in San Fernando Valley. Why is Cesar Chavez and the March for Justice still important to this day?
Well, that movement in the 60s, 70s, 80s, especially, showed us an example of what it meant to be dedicated to a cause for justice. Specifically, it was for affecting agricultural workers and the issues in the fields of production. But to make it relevant to our lives, we knew that we had issues dealing with social justice in the city, in the San Fernando Valley. And we benefited from their example in terms of committing ourselves to our particular situations here. So therefore, that although the farm workers today are still seeking good working conditions and just pay and compensation for their work, that still goes on. It's not as visible as it once was, but we are still facing particular issues in our own circumstances here in the city. And so you might say, carry that spirit, or hopefully we carry that spirit and that example of dedication. And I might say not just of Cesar Chavez, but of the many farm workers whose names we don't always know and remember. This is a movement that was broad. It was beyond one individual, as important as the leader was. It was the many farm workers that dedicated their lives. And in turn, hopefully we can continue to generate, produce young people here that will commit themselves to the issues that we face, you know, dealing with immigration or employment, political empowerment, educational opportunities. They're numerous here in the cities. And so that is, you might say, our attempt is not just to hold on to a movement of agricultural workers. More importantly, I think to hold on to a spirit of dedication and interest in our issues confronting social justice. So that's why we, I think, maintain it and promote it and want to do as much as we can so it continues into the future.
Yeah, that's great. And I know Pueblo y Salud serves as a fiscal agent for the Cesar Chavez March for Justice that was started 27 years ago. Chavez, whose birthday is March 31st, 1927, is an official holiday in California and a federal commemorative holiday. Became a national hero, a symbol of courage and fortitude, for leading a nonviolent revolution to organize farm workers. His work stirred up enormous pride and solidarity among Hispanics in California across the nation. Pueblo y Salud, a founding member of the Cesar Chavez Commemorative Committee, has served as a lead agency for the past 27 years. The event was the first of its kind in the nation, attracting over thousands of students, parents, and community members annually. The 27th annual Cesar Chavez March for Justice is coming up faster than we think. As Beto Ruiz was discussing, it is scheduled Sunday, March 29th, 2020. Now, you can get involved by attending the Cesar Chavez Commemorative Committee meeting on December 18th at 6 p.m. It will be held here in our office at 1024 North McClay Avenue in Suite M13 in the city of San Fernando. Don't miss out. We also invite you to the Warriors for Justice dinner on Thursday, January 30th, 2020. Yes, I said it, 2020. That's sooner than we expect. It's actually like in 2-3 weeks. But Warriors for Justice dinner Thursday, January 30th, 2020 at 6:30 here in the city of San Fernando. You can also get some more information by calling in to 818-837-2272. We have our inspirational youth conference where you can register to cesarchavez.info, which will be held Saturday, March 7th, 2020. Our March for Justice is Sunday, March 29th, 2020 at 10 a.m. The rally begins at Brand Park City, and at 1 p.m., the Cultural Arts Festival will be at Richie Valens Park in the city of Pacoima. You can also register through pys.org, get some additional information, and you can follow us on Instagram and Facebook at Pueblo y Salud. If you have any questions, please give us a call at 818-837-2272. We thank you for listening in. Beto Ruiz, we thank you for taking your time and being with us on this beautiful Saturday morning. We invite you anytime. We thank you for taking your time and speaking to us about this march, and you're doing an amazing job here in the community.
Thank you. It was a pleasure. The next song we're hearing is a song called Cubo Raza. It was composed and it's being sung here, as you hear it, by Agustin Lira. He was a farm worker and an original member of the Teatro Campesino, Farm Workers Theater Group, that came out of the United Farm Workers. So it's a song that talks about Chicano history and the identity of a Chicano.
Great. Listeners, stay tuned for the next hour for our next segment. Thank you.
Bueno, pues, ¿qué hubo? ¿Cómo les va? Qué lindo día para cantar noticias que han llegado de Nuevo México, 1848. Pues fue firmado el gran tratado de Guadalupe Hidalgo. Prometiendo justicia y libertad a tierras y terrenos de gente indígena. Hombre, qué mentirosos cuando firmaron el tratado. Los americanos
y el mexicano ser gringo no puede ni quiere. El mexicano ser gringo no puede ni será, porque en sus venas trae la sangre chichimeca, zapoteca y de los yaquis, xochimilca y de los mayas. Y en su cuerpo trae la sangre de Cuauhtémoc, de Morelos y Zapata y el famoso Pancho Villa.
la bamba, jarabe el guatanzón, va a bailarte lingo lingo, se baila singulario, se baila como la bamba, jarabe.